With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tour Report from Secret Golf. This week, it is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, another one of these tournaments with the Pro-Am element. And on a three-course rotation, Elk, some of the greatest courses that we see all year on the PGA Tour. But we need to go back very quickly to last week, Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. I mean, did you have some sort of magic crystal ball that gave you insight? Bearing in mind, your picks last week were John Rahm, Sahith Theegala, and Sam Ryder, who almost got it done.
Yeah, it was. I can't believe that I finished up, didn't actually win the tournament. My friend Stu Redson, who's the chief marketing officer for the Phoenix Open, was out in San Diego on Sunday and played with Sam after he played, and he said, you know, Sam was awesome. He was a little late to the tee. He'd had a celebration the night before about, you know, all the things that went on last week. He just said he'd never been in that much pressure before. And he really realized that when Amanda was interviewing his mother walking down
It was a kiss of death. She jinxed him.
Walking down the 14th fairway, he looked back and saw his mother being interviewed, and he said he realized his friends later told him that his mother's hair was trending on Twitter, and he realized that I'm going to the Masters, and he got slightly ahead of himself, and he really didn't do too much wrong. He could have won that tournament. Of course, Max Honma, who's turned into a real superstar player, played the last five or six holes, I think it was, or last seven holes, maybe the last back nine in three under par. So all hats off to Max Honma. We've talked about how guys dominate in California that are Californian guys that putt well on Poana greens. I've seen it with Marco Mira, won, I think, five AT&T Pebble Beaches. Tiger Woods, of course, wins everything in California. Phil Mickelson. They just hit these putts so much firmer than I would ever do it, Diane. They're so wobbly out there, and the guys that grew up there, obviously, they know what they're doing. They've had to grow up on this Poana bumpy. They've developed strokes that have more speed on the putts, can hold the line better, et cetera, et cetera. But it was an exciting week for us. We had a fan of ours that had money down on Sam Ryder, and we're going to interview him, or you're going to interview him this afternoon and tell us how exciting, because he cashed out for a large amount of money, Diane, in the middle of the tournament.
Yeah, and he didn't know what to do. His name is Joey. He's a big fan of the Tour Report, and he always picks our dark horses. So, he got a nice early cash out, but we'll talk to him a little bit later on. I've got so much that I want to hit on quickly, just going back to last week. Yeah, first of all, I had friends over. We were watching the final round on Saturday, and when Amanda started interviewing Sam Ryder's mom walking down the fairway, we were like, no, because the mom was getting, obviously, you know, very excited, and she said she had two things on her bucket list. One, to see him hit a hole-in-one, which she did see last year at the WM Phoenix Open, and two, to be there for his first win. And she's like, and I'm here for his first win. And we're like, oh, that's it for Sam.
Sam Ryder did tell my friend Stu that that when he had the hole-in-one last year at the Waste Management, it kind of changed his trajectory of his career in a certain sense, where everyone knew about that and his sponsors realized that, and it sort of changed things for him. So good for him. He's got a great swing. He plays well. He's very organized in his golf. I mean, it wasn't a out of the blue pick for me, Diane. Of course, I'm always digging down into the tour to find these guys because they're not very far away. As Max Honma said, I think on after one of his second rounds, they asked him, what does he attribute all this good play to? And he said, look, and I've been saying this to you forever, I have one really good swing thought. Most guys out here are one good swing thought away from playing great golf. He said, I'm lucky I've worked on a few things and it's clicked for me and I've been able to hang in there with it. But it's all about the sequence, Diane. One thing here, whatever, changes the sequence and gets guys synced back in. We've seen that. That is very difficult for us to handicap because it's on the fly, moment to moment. However, if anyone is going to pick up these subtleties from our ear next to the ground, Diane, we will, of course.
Sam Ryder was 54-hole leader. So he was playing the final group alongside John Rahm and Tony Finau. You know, you've got these two massive names. Obviously, we knew how much Torrey Pines meant to Rahm. If he got the win, he was going to get world number one, which he'd been very vocal about. Obviously, Tony Finau, who had been on a heater the day before. But neither of them played great over the front nine. And I think, you know, you kind of expected John Rahm especially to have that fire and to really put the pressure on Sam, and it didn't really work that way. Do you think that maybe affected Sam a little bit in that you've got two guys who were not playing great? It was the opposite probably of what he expected. Could that have thrown it off a little bit?
It could have. I mean, Sam Ryder did tell my friend that there was a lot of pressure on him. He felt the pressure heavily the last 2 days. But I also told, for those that were listening to me around here, I said that Sam didn't actually he was tied with the lead through 68 holes of the tournament. He only had four holes to go and he was tied. He made double bogey, as you remember, on hole 15. He didn't need to hit that pitch shot and go over. He could have played left and made bogey there. I told Sam here, I said, bogey's okay here, double bogeys, the tournament's over. Make bogey at 15. He parred 16, hit a great shot. Drive it into the fairway at 17, no matter what club you have to hit, because then you'll have a medium to short iron to the green. You could make birdie there, pick up a par, and then play 18 aggressively. And as it turned out, if he would have made bogey at 15, Diane, hit it in the fairway at 16, at 17, and maybe made birdie at 18, he still wouldn't have won, but he would have won another $500,000 or something. So he's going to learn when he looks back that it really wasn't that bad a finish for him. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of loose drives, and the rough was very high, as you can see. Left himself in poor position at 15 and 17, you know, et cetera. However, it was, you know, it was a very exciting week for us because not very often we get to follow a dark horse pick, a 300-to-1 shot through 68 holes of the tournament.
And all three of your picks finished within the top seven. You had Ryder and Thigala were tied for fourth and then Rahm tied for seventh. So Elk knows what he's talking about.
Well, this week, you know, these non-elevated events, really getting kicked around, Diane, by the tour players. They are not, you know, it's been this week's tournament in particular is not a great field. Last week was not a great field. So in a certain sense, it is quite easy to watch the cream rise to the crop, to the top, so to speak. This week will be much the same. You know, we've seen California on the news all winter long, where they've had this tremendous amount of rain at Pebble Beach. We know that this week's not just going to be about these stats, Diane. It's going to be about attitude. They're going to play in cool weather. They're going to play in the rain. They're going to be playing with amateurs. They're going to be playing on wet golf courses. So we have to kind of factor all that in. Who's good at that? who's there, who's trying the hardest, who we saw Ricky Fowler have a good week. He was on, he was the tournament's host, you know, he represents Farmers Insurance. Saw him play well. Lot of attitude in that pick. We know Jordan Spieth plays Unreal Golf at Pebble Beach, and he's also the headliner this week for AT&T. We've also seen Spieth lead the tournament in Hawaii a couple of weeks ago and missed the cut after the second round, and his game has been sideways off the tee. So we're going to discuss all that this week, Diane, and see what we can come up with this week.
We have a lot going on. Last year, it was Tom Hoagie who got his debut victory on the PGA Tour. It was a bit of a showdown between Spieth and Hoagie. And then it was, a late slip from Spieth, and Hoagie beat him by two. Last year, I remember as well, we saw that incredibly dangerous shot from Jordan Spieth on the edge of the cliff, which in hindsight, he said was probably not the best idea. But as I said, you know, we've got three courses that the guys are playing again this week. Pebble Beach Golf Links, Spyglass Hill, and then Monterey Peninsula. And you talk about the weather, the Dunes course at Monterey Peninsula was just decimated at the start of the year because of all that rain. And, you know, it's actually a miracle that the guys are going to be able to play Monterey this year. So as you say, all the rain they've had, it's going to affect things quite a lot. We're looking at three short courses, and Pebble in particular is known for having the smallest greens on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, short on the scorecard, that is. Long when you're hitting shots into the wind and the salty wind, there's a lot more friction on the ball on the coastline, Diane, a lot more particles of salt in the air. Makes the ball go nowhere. So if you can't really have a long scorecard on long, you know, a long course on the scorecard. But yes, the shot that Jordan hit last year on hole 8 was ridiculous. Kind of sums up his game to a certain extent. He's sort of always in danger, Diane, of doing something, but he always manages to pull himself out and was in there to the very end. Tom Hoagie, of course, one of the premier strikers of the golf ball. He has a couple of green boxes that I'm looking at this week. And, you know, that I've looked down this list. I've handicapped a lot this week, Diane, and I'm looking at two particular stats that we're going to talk about that I think suit you the best to play this week.
Okay. Well, we're back to, remember, another major course. Gary Woodland won the US Open here. You know, talking about these major courses very quickly, going back to Max Homa. He's won now at Quail Hollow, at Riviera, at Torrey Pines. I mean, we talk about California courses, obviously, but
twice in Napa, yeah.
Exactly. So Homa's going to be, he should have a good year of him, especially a good year ahead of him, sorry, especially with the US Open in LA in the summertime. So all eyes going to be on him. But back to Pebble. So we're going to give our picks. We've got outright favourites, ones to watch, and dark horses. Now, obviously, you had a phenomenal week last week with your picks. And I have a feeling that there could be a little bit of overlap between you and I this week, which, to be honest, has given me that boost of confidence that I need after my picks were like this.
Well, you remember, you get on runs just like I do, and when we do our pre-production and we talk about who we're going to pick, very rarely do we cross and pick the same player, but we did this week, and we're going to talk about why that happened. Maybe a player that you weren't thinking about, but Diane, as I start to handicap this tournament, you know, there's about 30% of this you know, recipe comes from these stats here that are in front of me. 30% of it comes into how are these players mentally going to cope with the Monterey Peninsula? And then 30% sort of is this weather feature this week, which is windy, it's going to be raining, you know, dealing with all that, playing with amateurs, slow golf, maybe 6 hour rounds. It all, when you go to Pebble Beach, you expect all this sort of stuff to happen. So a lot of it has to do with attitude. I played in this event 25 years straight. I had the same amateur partner, Mr. Don Lucas. He has a house on the fifth hole there. And Diane, some of the rounds when it gets windy and cold and rainy and the amateur cannot get moving down the fairway fast enough, it becomes a hair-pulling-out moment for some of these tour players, and they literally just break in the middle of the week. Of course, that's not going to affect some of these ones that we're picking because we've factored all that in, Diane?
Well, I'll just, you know, I'm not picking him this week, although I always pick him in my heart. It's my brother, Russell. He loves this tournament, has played great here, has had some really good finishes, I think two top 15 finishes, but, you know, no surprise really, bearing in mind he grew up playing golf in Scotland. So he enjoys it. He loves the challenge of being out here, and especially when the temperatures do drop a little bit and that wind picks up. But the strength of field, I mean, it's going to come up. It's going to be talked about this week. We've got one within the world top 10, Matt Fitzpatrick. Victor Hovland is 11th in the world. He's playing. Jordan Spieth is 16th. I mean, those are really the headline names. Tom Hoge, who's back after winning last year. But, you know, we talk about this a lot, but it's true. And this is the perfect week for it. It's a opportunity week. This is such a big week when, you know, the strength of the field maybe has dipped a little bit. It's up against the Saudi tournament on the DP World Tour this week, which of course we have a lot of the LIV guys playing, and some names like Cameron Young, Cameron Champ have headed over there as well. But I mean, for someone, I'm not going to give away my pick yet, but for guys that are in good form, that love playing here, this is a real opportunity week for them.
Yeah, and, you know, my attitude going to Pebble Beach was Lisa and I, we love going to the Monterey Peninsula, staying with the Lucas family. Greatest off-the-course entertainment of all the tour events happens at Monterey Peninsula. You can go to the Lodge, you can go down to Carmel. You've got all these beautiful taverns that have open fireplaces burning. Diane, you know all this stuff. You've been out there. You've seen it all. It's the
Do
most
you remember?
Awesome.
What was we went to when we were there for the US Open? We went to a bar.
Angie's. We went to Angie's breakfast place.
Well, we went there, but remember the bar we went to, and it was the older guy, and he was singing all these Frank Sinatra songs. And remember, I was just in love. He was so, so, so good. I've got videos on my phone of this guy just like singing in this bar. You're right. The entertainment, the vibe.
It was down at Carmel Valley Ranch, Clint Eastwood's bar. It was where that was.
Yes.
I used to think, Diane, about my golf at this tournament, that I felt like if I could win at Pebble Beach, I could win anywhere. My attitude was if I could do it, and I never did have a good finish at Pebble, maybe one or two top five in 30 years playing at Pebble Beach. But my attitude was I'm going to push myself so hard to stay patient, hang in there, do what I'm supposed to do, because if I can win at Pebble Beach, I can win anywhere. It'll suit me. It'll serve me well to play in the majors. It'll serve me well when things get tough, and I can always point back. So that was my attitude going.
Well, we were just talking about this, but last week we had one of our viewers of the Tour Report and one of our followers who got in touch to say that he had paid attention to Elk's dark horse pick of Sam Ryder, and wow, it was tense until the end. But Joey, you didn't have to wait until the very end to make your money. Talk us through, first of all, you know, obviously, you know, following the Tour Report, and what made you go with Sam Ryder after Elk gave out the pick?
Yeah, so I always listen to your podcast. I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan of Steve Elkington when he was with his Jim Rome day. So I kind of followed you guys from there. And I saw the 100-1, and I'm like, okay, or 300-1, I'm sorry. Yeah, 300-1. And I'm like, okay, well, let me load up on him just to see, because he checked just the putting, and this course you had to be a good putter at. So I decided to do that, and I added him into my DraftKings lineup as well. I was the only one in him that picked Sam for the DraftKings lineup too. So after the first day, I was good to go. I liked his pairing with Brendan Steele. I know they're good friends. And then I started talking about after the second day, I'm like, well, he's going to be playing with him, you know, after the second day as well. So on the third day, I'm thinking, I'm contacting everybody. I'm like, you know, I'm reaching out to you guys, like, what should I do? What should I do? And lo and behold, I decided to let it roll because he was with Brendan again. Mm-hmm. But then after that, I kind of seen all the big guys kind of creeping up the leaderboard. And I just had a feeling it was time to cash out at the 6,400 to do that. So yeah.
So as we said, he was 300-1. You had $100 on it. And The first 2 days were great. And when you get a guy like Sam, who's really high odds and a total outsider, especially for such a difficult course and for a tournament that, okay, we had Luke List win last year, but you've seen such big names. I mean, it's the Tiger Woods tournament and course, isn't it? But for him to have such a fantastic opening round, take the early lead, but then to keep it going again in round two, which the days were all confusing. So by the end of Thursday, for him still to be holding the lead. And then Saturday, so you had got in touch with us after the second round to say, like, what should I do? Should I cash out? Do we think he's going to keep going? And we had put it out to our followers and everyone was like, you have to ride with it. You have to keep going.
That was the big thing, because I liked him that he was with Brendan going into the third round. If it was somebody else with a little bit of pressure on there, I would have probably been a little bit nervous. But everybody, all my friends, my golfing friends are all like, just let it go. It's only $100. It's only $100. And luckily, I had the DraftKings lineup too to kind of hedge. So I was still rooting for him to win the tournament, because I still had I was the only one that picked him to do that for my DraftKings lineup. So nonetheless, it was a fun weekend. It's a great tournament. It's one of my favorite tournaments. And just by chance, I was listening to you guys and I'm like, oh, I kind of like this pick. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it.
So when you cashed out at the end of round three, were you on the fence? Or, you know, a big factor would have been when you saw the fact that he was playing with John Rahm and Tony Finau. And we know how Rahm feels about Tory Pines. His performance on Saturday really was quite a surprise for him not to come out fighting and really put the pressure on Sam. I'd said to Elk, you know, do you think that that had a detrimental effect on Sam's performance on Sunday, in that, you know, you have these two massive names and they're just not playing up to their capability?
Right. And especially with Rahm's rounds in the second and third round, to climb the leaderboard like that. And then you see Tony Finau, Max Homa, all the big guys for that tournament were there. I knew it was going to be pressure. So I'm like, okay, I survived the round after round three. I'm just going to cash out. So it's done. It was an easier pick with seeing the, John Rahm and, Tony Finau in his group. Cause I couldn't do it. So I'm like,
For your $100 bet, you cashed out for $6,400.
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. And then it was good. I can't wait for your guys' picks this week. So I'll be waiting for those long shots.
And how did you get on in your DraftKings lineup at the end of
Saturday? I ended up fourth for $2,500. If Sam would have birdied the last hole and if Sahith Theegala would have eagled, I would have climbed up a little bit more. But not having Sam win, I could not win the $10,000. So, but it was good. That was a $200 tournament into $2,500. So yeah, I'm not complaining.
Fantastic week. So we have our picks coming out just in a little while today. Is there anyone that you're liking?
I already looked at my long shots and I already bet on Brian Gay. I don't know. He's done well at this course, both courses. So he's got a little track history here. So I'm interested to see who you all pick. So yeah.
Are you going to spend your money on anything exciting?
You know, I had a really good week because I do a lot of DraftKings and I just won a basketball tournament for $5,000 earlier on the week. I adopted a child from China and it was her gotcha day. And like 5 years ago, I won $100,000 on DraftKings. It was on her gotcha day. And then I won this tournament. And it's the same time that I placed the bet for Sam. So it came out to be a pretty good, whatever January 25th is, it's a day that's, I'll be placing bets on that and doing everything else. So yeah, I cashed it out. It's pretty good. I have a big golf trip coming up. This is our sixth year. There's eight of us. We play 180 holes in 5.5 days. So in Arizona. So yeah, it's a fun little trip. This will help with a little bit of money and, a little gambling money. So yeah.
You bring tears to my eyes. You know how if you watch the show or listen regularly, you know what I'm like when it comes to, well, babies anyway.
I have a special needs child. My son, Anthony, he's 15. He's in a wheelchair, doesn't walk, doesn't talk, but he's the love of my life. And then my wife and I decided to adopt from China and she's 7. She'll be 8 March 12th. So we picked her up when she was 10 months old from China, and she was left at a doorstep at 5 days old with her umbilical cord still attached to her. But whoever had her took care of her, because they wrapped her up pretty good in a blanket because it was March back in China. So it's cold there. So, but yeah, my story of everything with my son and everything, that's what brought us to Colorado Springs, because I grew up in Ohio But we moved here about 2.5 years ago for my son, for the medicines and everything he takes for his seizures and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, you're all lucky to have each other. It really is. That's amazing. And, well, I wish you nothing but continued success.
Oh, yeah. I'll be tweeting to you guys and everything else. And as soon as I get to my hotel in Charlotte, I'll be watching your podcast. So, yeah. Okay. And then I'll YouTube. Excellent.
Yeah. All right, Joey. Right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good day. Good luck to you.
Right, well, let's dive into our picks then, and we will start with our outright favourites. Now, shall we just dive into the fact that this is where you and I had a clash, and I deliberately picked this guy because I thought, he's not going to be on the top of everyone's list. He's a little bit under the radar, not a big, like, superstar flashy name. However, when I was diving into the stats, I'm like, this is telling the story. So I was very proud of my pick of Andrew Putnam. And then you were like, I picked him too. So let's both give our reasons why. But as I said, it's given me quite a bit of confidence knowing that that's who you were looking at too.
Well, hardly anyone knows who Andrew Putnam is. We can go through his stats if we like. But when I started to handicap this field, Diane, on this 30% portion of this recipe we're talking about, I looked at a Jordan Spieth's record. You can read out the last 10 years that he's played here, but it's just incredible how good he played. And I looked at the stats on our little sheet this week, and I picked out, how does Jordan Spieth do it at Pebble Beach? Well, we know he doesn't drive it miles, like forever. We know he's not in every fairway. But two stats really stand out for me, Diane. One is greens in reg, and the other stat that we pulled in this week was putting from inside between 5 and 15 feet. Because we always see Jordan pitch it up there, make a 10-footer to keep the round going. So I took those two stats, Diane, those two green boxes. The green means great in here. Red is not good. I took those two green boxes and found out who else has two green boxes in those two categories, who's likely to do something. And, of course, Andrew Putnam has the best two green boxes in those categories. He's playing great golf. He played good here. He's played good everywhere lately. You can talk about that if you like, but Andrew Putnam is a very solid pick. I'm glad you're on him because I had so much love coming my way last week, Diana. I almost felt sorry for you sitting back there with your picks. I'm going to pick Victor Hovland, who won the US Amateur here. He also has two very nice green boxes, one in putting and one in total putting and one in greens in reg. He won the US Amateur. He's from Norway. It will be Norwegian weather this week, Diane. It won't worry him. So there's our top two for you.
Okay, well, Victor Hovland is 11-1, so one of the favorites. Andrew Putnam way higher at 30-1. So I'm sticking with him. I'm claiming him as my outright favorite this week, even though you've definitely got one eye on him too. But for all the reasons you gave, he finished tied for sixth at this tournament last year. And I was looking at best scoring averages around the courses, and he's within the top 10 at Monterey Peninsula. Loves playing here. You talk about his form. He hasn't missed a cut since July last year. How unbelievable. I mean, so consistent. His stats are great. He has had two top 10s, a runner-up at the Zozo, T4 at the Sony Open in Hawaii. I know the conditions are going to be very different, but still, you know, a real kind of coastal course where you have to think about everything else that's going on by the water. So, yeah, he was, for me, it was a no-brainer. And then when we did our re-ranking of the field with our algorithm, he jumped all the way up to third. So 30-1.
Let's hope this is a unveiling of Andrew Putnam to our people that watch us this week, Diane, because nobody is looking at Andrew Putnam except his family and friends. I was also looking at Maverick McNealy. He's not my pick, of course. I'm going with Hovland, but he lived on the golf course, grew up. Joseph Bramblett, him and Maverick played golf together at Stanford. They know this weather very well. They practiced in the rain at Stanford. Maverick has family, has a house on this golf course. He's played well here before. He's like the first in the category of 5 to 10 footers. So I almost leaned on the Maverick McNealy train this week, Diane, but I'm going to go with Hovland. Your Hoagie, of course, has the magic green boxes. And of course, this will be posted on SG Tour golfing app if you would like to come on and look for your ideas. But
how, How lovely for Maverick McNeely. Oh, yeah. My family has a course at Pebble. My family has a house on the course at Pebble. I mean, what a lovely way to grow up if you're...
And he's playing well, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, then. So those who we're looking at, those are the names at the top. We'll move on to our ones to watch, so slightly higher odds. And this guy, before I even looked at stats, at course history, tournament history, RE ranking, I knew I was going to pick him because of the magic.
He got married, or he's having a baby.
Had a baby just about 2 weeks ago. Joel Damon became a father for the first time. Remember, I was going to pick him for the American Express, and he withdrew that week because the baby was on the way. So little boy called Riggs was born on the 19th, and Joel Damon is back in action. Do you know he actually hasn't played this calendar year? But when you look at the season, considering we have that, wraparound, he's had 3 top tens in his last 3 starts, which is fantastic. He's good friends with Max Homa, and we saw Max just win after having his little boy, Cam, who was at the course. So I don't know, maybe I think that they're obviously like great friends. A revitalized sense of happiness in life and a bit of perspective as well. But Joel Damon has really good history here, especially on Spyglass Hill, really good scoring average. Last year, he finished tied for 6th. In 2020, tied for 14th. I look back at his stats, actually, from his T6 last year, and it was his putting that let him down. He's great greens and regulation, approach around the green, but his putting has actually really been improving, which will go towards those 3 top tens already this season. So Joel Damon at 40-1, he's going to be my one to watch, and he jumped all the way to number 2 in our re-ranking this week.
Well, you know, in horse racing, Diane, you never bet on a horse that's coming off a long spell the first week out. So that would be why I'm not looking at Joel Damon, although I agree with everything you just said about him. And I throw in that he grew up in California and he puts well on the bumpiest, spongiest greens in the history of the world, which is going to be Pebble Beach. 1 year we played out there with so much rain, the amateurs are stomping all around the hole. We were talking about if you can make all your putts from this far this week, you're going to win the tournament because it was just a nightmare. Now, Joel Damon is great value. I'm looking a bit further down the list, Diane. I'm at more like 80-1 on this young man. I'm looking at the boxes. I'm looking at a guy that has green boxes across the board, drives it in the top 50, greens in reg, top 50, putting top 10. Only played in this tournament one time, tied for 33rd last year. Grayson Sigg hasn't been super hot on this West Coast, Diane. Cut last week, 48th, 15th, 42nd, 11th. But I'm seeing enough action there to pick him this week as my one to watch. When you get these young guys that have the opportunity, as you spoke of, coming to a course like Pebble Beach, there's sometimes, you know, Jordan is playing with probably the president of AT&T. Charlie Hoffman is playing with the president of Waste Management. So sometimes it forces a player up the list to play really well. I'm hoping for that for Grayson Sigg this week, Diane. I've got him at 90-1 sitting on my board here as my one to watch.
If you want me to give you a name with slightly higher odds than 40-1, I was also looking at Ben Griffin, who's 70-1. Hasn't missed a cut since the Fortinet at the very start of the season. Bermuda Championship, he finished 3rd in October, 12th at the Sony Open a few weeks ago. And, you know, we said that on the scorecard, these courses are shorter. The weather's obviously going to have something to say about that. But, you know, precision, kind of shorter layout, good greens and reg, good approach. You know, we're looking at Bermuda and Sony being as a little bit compatible in that sense. So, yeah, Ben Griffin, 70-1. I kind of like that this week too.
I like Ben Griffin. Do you know another guy that I've never seen swing, and I've seen his name, but has the 2 nicest boxes that we've already talked to, green boxes, is a guy named Alex Smalley. Okay. Could you tell me about Alex Smalley for me?
Yeah, I'm familiar with his name, but let me give you some easy, good information about
27th currently in the FedEx Cup. 36th on the tour in greens and reg, 12th, almost top 10 in putting inside of five to 15 feet. Yeah. Had some good West Coast action already. And I don't know much about Alex Smalley.
He's from Greensboro, North Carolina. That's where, well, he was born in Rochester, New York, but he lives in Greensboro. Went to Duke University. He turned pro in 2019. He's 6 foot, 26 years old. Let's see what's been going on with him lately. As you say, 27th in the FedEx Cup, which is pretty nice. The PGA Tour app has changed, so it takes a little bit longer to find everything. That.
Well, that's okay. We'll just earmark Smalley in everyone's mind this week, Diane, to think about him as they go. Oh, they talked about him in the show. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Now, normally you're gonna try to wiggle your way out of a long shot bet here for 100 to 1.
Okay. Here's the thing, right? This guy, there's a bit of disparity when it comes to my dark horse pick. So some people have him at 70 to 1, some places have him at 100 to 1. So if you want to go and find him at 100 to 1, you can do. So I'm not really cheating. He is out there, available at 100 to 1 as we are recording this show. So I'm sticking with him. Do you want me to dive right in?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I want you to.
Lanto Griffin is my dark horse. Now, he was forced to take a long break after, it was from last summer, he had some sort of disc injury and had to have surgery. So he's been in rehabilitation pretty much, you know, for half of last year. And he is back with a vengeance, made his return at the Farmers last week and played well. He finished 37th, final round 77. So that just kind of derailed him and pushed him down. But he'd opened with a 67. So that shows me that, you know, things are starting to fire in the right direction. He likes this tournament. So I think the Farmers, obviously, like, really long, tough course last week at Torrey Pines. And he's going to take a lot of positives away from that. Now he's coming back to a place where he's finished ninth here before, he finished 16th. So he loves it here. And I think that this is going to be a good week for Lanto Griffin to fully return to form on the PGA Tour at 100 to 1. He's my dark horse pick.
Allegedly. My dark horse, as you know, how successful I was last week, Diane, I've got an even better one this week for you.
Well, yeah, pressure's on.
My dark horse pick, after all my success last week, could be even better this week. It's 110 to 1. Now, the reason I can look at the stats, he's got the green that I'm looking for. This is way down on the D board on our sheet, Diane, rookie. But I've had two of my friends who played with this young fella out at Palm Springs call me and tell me that he's going to be a better player than I was. Okay, that's fine. And I've had two amateurs that saw him play in Palm Springs both call me and said, you got to get on this guy. Kevin Yu from China is having a tremendous start to his season. I think it's his rookie year, by the way. But everyone that's calling me is all my feelers are out, Diane, telling me about this kid, Kevin Yu. And you're going to tell us about him.
Well, let me have a little look, because you're right. When I see, I mean, he's, when we did our re-ranking, he jumped all the way up to 21st, which is excellent. You talk about those green boxes. He is 24th in greens and reg. So that's definitely his strong stat and going to be important this week. Very accurate, precise hitter as well. He's been having an all right season. Let me get what he's been doing here. But 44th at the Farmers, missed the cut at the Amex, 21st at the Sony. So this is going to be his fourth event of 2023. Went to Arizona State. That's where he lives.
John Rahm country.
Mm-hmm. Sure, he's going to be looking forward to the WM Phoenix Open next week as well. 24 years old. He turned pro in 2021. And as you say, this is his rookie year on the PGA Tour after finishing in the top 50 in the Korn Ferry Tour last year. So there you go. What else do you want to know?
I had one of my friends that played with him in the Bob Hope Classic, one of the amateurs, told me that they that my friend would give me one stroke aside against Kevin Yu, and he would put up. Yeah. And I said, well, I'm 60 years old. Give me a break. But he goes, no, no, no. I'm talking about when you were playing good. That's how good he is. So we'll see, Diane. But Kevin Yu is my new horse that I'm riding this week on the long side of things.
Okay. I tell you, your friends have to be pretty confident in Kevin's game if they're immediately coming up to you and saying he could beat you in your heyday, because
that's well, we're going to find out.
Statement.
I guarantee there'll be some people climbing on Kevin Yu after they see this show.
Yeah, that's good. And as you say, 110-1. So my three picks this week are Andrew Putnam.
That was going to be mine, so I'm taking half of that. No, okay. I'm not.
Okay, Joel Damon and Ben Griffin I'm looking at as well. And then my dark horse is going to be Lanto Griffin. You've got Victor Hovland up top. In the middle, you're going with Grayson Sigg. Who was the other name that you mentioned?
Well, I'm just going to do my three, Grayson Sigg and then Kevin Yu. I was saying that there were some other players that I think we should start to watch, Alex Smalley and Maverick McNeely, we both spoke of, but I'm sticking to my three. And, you know, the opportunity for us, of course, is to unleash a couple of these young players that people will get interested in. Of course, Diane didn't know much about Sam Ryder other than he made the hole-in-one last year at the Waste Management, and that got him way up the board. Now everyone knows Sam Ryder, which is great.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he, not how he bounces back. As he says, he was saying to your friend, he was really feeling the pressure over the weekend, played great on the Friday. And it'll be interesting to see how he takes that forward for the rest of the season when he's obviously playing some really, really great golf right now.
Yeah, and you know, next week we go back to the Waste Management. I'm going to the tournament. I'm going out there next week. I don't know if I'll be on site or not to do the show. I'll be doing the show. I just don't know if it'll be on site to do it with you, of course. Back to an elevated event. The field is absolutely stacked. The tour has a pretty sizable problem, in my opinion, Diane, between these elevated, non-elevated events. $4 million next week for the winner. Massive event out in the desert, of course, followed by the Super Bowl on Sunday. So is it a Wednesday start next week, or is it
back to Thursday? And then with the Super Bowl being in Arizona as well, that's going to be insane. I went to the WM Phoenix Open last year for the first time, and my husband and I were like, wow, remember last year we were young, carefree people having fun out in Scottsdale, and this year we're going to be at home on the couch watching it with the baby.
Things change, Diane, as you know.
For the best, for the best. Right, thank you very much for watching. We're keeping our fingers crossed for another one of Elk's Dark Horse successes. And we'll be back with the Tour Report next week for the WM Phoenix Open.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.